welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. I'm Patricia Camilleri. In this series, I will be talking to academic staff about their research, their international networks, their aims and plans for the future. I shall also be hearing from staff and students about the many events that take place here at the University of Malta. This is the programme that keeps you informed about what's happening on campus. I'm very pleased to have with me in the studio today for University Matters, Ms. Hilary Briffa and Mr. Carl Portelli. They're here together today because they were both participants in the Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Fellows Initiative, which is a summer institute for youth, which is held in usually North Carolina. And they both went on this initiative, and I look forward to hearing about their experiences, whether they really felt they got something out of it, what they were looking for, etc. Just a word about Hilary. Hilary participated in the Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Fellows Initiative in 2010. This was just before she started university, where she studies and is now in her final year of international relations, whereas Mr. Carl Portelli participated in 2008 and went on to study history and international relations at the Royal Holloway University in the UK, and followed this up with an MSc in comparative politics. And I suspect from looking at the subjects they chose that their Benjamin Franklin experience had something to do with that. In the sort of the official bits of paper, the Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Fellows Initiative is described as being the summer institute for youth, 3 to 4 week US-based institute, time that takes place in summer this year, 2013, up to 90 teenagers aged between 16 and 18 from Europe and 10 from the United States will get together and focus on civic education, leadership development, community activism. And the real aim is to unite young adults across the Atlantic Ocean. Of course, words are very easy, and therefore perhaps we can hear something more about the actual actions that took place. Since you went first, Carl, perhaps you could tell us what drove you, what pushed you to choose this kind of adventure.
I think the major draw was the opportunity to meet people from all over the world, really. There were people from places I never even probably heard of, like Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan, all these places in Eurasia, and then all the people from the United States, too, and from different states. It was quite interesting, too, people from Kentucky and Texas and Washington. It was just that, I think, which was a major draw, and the opportunity to go and experience life at an American university, which was quite fun, too.
Were you always drawn to the American experience?
I think, actually, being 18 and quite trying to be all radical and cool, quite at that age, I think most people are quite critical of the United States. So I think it was more the chance to be there and see what it was like for myself, rather than taking it from the kind of left-wing thinkers or whatever, trying to criticize the United States, and being there for yourself and really seeing what it was like and seeing the work they do and how important their role in the world is, rather than trying to see all the negative things that they may do, and trying to see that it's really all for the good, all for the best.
Going back to the official description, it says to, as I said, to develop the sense of civic responsibility, commitment to transatlantic cooperation, foster relationships from amongst youth from different ethnic, religious and national backgrounds. You seem to have experienced that, definitely, when you went.
I think one of the first things we did, actually, was had the opportunity to visit a mosque, a synagogue, and even, I think, one of the church, and I think there might have been an Orthodox church, too. That wasn't the first thing they threw us into. I mean, it was to pick and choose what it was like. And even with the host family, I went, they were Baptists, and I went, even went to Sunday service with them. I went to Sunday school with them and everything. It was quite really, really good fun. And a lot of the people, obviously, there were from Muslim and Sunni backgrounds, so we got to experience that and speaking to them too, when there's so much negative talk about the Muslim community in the media at the time. So it was quite a good experience to meet people from these countries too.
And what about the students themselves? Do you feel that they all came with the same inspiration?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're really interested in trying to get to know people from all over the world and trying to establish these connections that will last. I think I was one of them. For everyone, it was the same thing. Although there was quite a bit of a language barrier, which I think lasted throughout all the years. All the Russian speakers kind of hung together, clung together, and then all the English speakers. Kind of, but there were people who tried to bridge the gap, the ones who could speak like enough English to get to know us all. So that was fun too.
And the actual actions that you took, where it says participants will work together to identify and overcome misunderstandings, which you've just mentioned, and they're going to develop critical thinking skills. When you went, and I know perhaps things have changed over the years as these things have to develop and sort of morph a bit, how was that actually done when you got there?
I don't think we're actually pushed to do it ourselves. It kind of let us do our own thing, and it really happened kind of automatically almost, because like we had people from countries that are almost at war with each other. We had people from Armenia and Azerbaijan, we had people from Georgia and Russia, with really tense relations, and they kind of have to, they're thrown together, but not, they're not forced to be, but they're in the same groups, the same classes, so they have to interact, whether they want to or not. So that's always really good to see, and then to see them talking, and people from Turkey and Armenia as well. So it's always really good to see these things happening without there being an agenda as such to do it, but they happen anyway, which is quite good.
In fact, we have courses here which are attended by young people from conflict areas of Europe, and sometimes at the beginning of the course, they don't even want to be in the same room with each other. And it's nice to see how things can be constructed in such a way that they end up in the same room, sitting on the same bench, and eventually enjoying an evening together as well as friends, which is wonderful. But you had actual lectures, talks?
Yes, we did. We had even simulations. We had to, we were talking about, I think the crisis at the moment going on at the time was the Darfur crisis. So we had to simulate people representing, there was a panel for the UN, panel for China, panel for, I think, the United States, and everyone had to be a part of this panel, and then we had to kind of argue at the points and represent the countries, kind of like what it's like here, the mini European Assembly, kind of like that kind of format. And we had to, we had advisors, and we had to kind of formulate the arguments they would take, the positions they would make, and argue their point of view, which is quite interesting. And that was kind of the class we had, and we had simulations as well for conflict resolution ones as well. We had a class on that as well, and we had groups, we divided into groups, and everyone had to represent a fictitious country, and they had their own resources, their own problems, and they kind of had to band together to try and solve a common crisis. So that was quite fun.
That's always a real learning curve when you have to give an argument on the other side.
Which is necessarily your own, which is really hard to get into the mindset of trying to represent something which you really might not believe in. So that's quite good.
Well, perhaps we can bring in Hilary here. What about your motivations for going for this opportunity?
Well, I found out about the program because every year my sixth form nominates a candidate from the sixth form to participate, and my headmaster had approached me and asked me if I'd be interested. And originally, part of my motivation was sort of this free trip to the United States. It's a 4-week experience in a continent I've never had the opportunity to visit before, so that was quite a big draw for me. But the closer it got to the date, the more excited I got at the prospect of, like Carl said, meeting the people and learning about the different issues. I think the friendships and the links you make are one of the most vital aspects to this program. I think it's what we remember the most afterwards. And now, afterwards, I can see how much more I gained out of it than I even expected to, and all the doors it's opened. Like, I first met Carl because we took part in a conference in Armenia together, which was organized by some alumni of the program. So we didn't, even though we're both Maltese, we didn't even meet here. We met in Armenia. So it's quite a funny thing the way these things turn out to be.
The friendships you make. We sometimes note here at the university that the international students tend to stick together, and they don't mix very much, very very easily, shall we say, with the Maltese. There shouldn't be a language barrier, although here obviously there is a bit of a problem from that point of view. But over there, were you able to make friends with the American participants, or did you tend to stick to your European peers?
Well, when I was there, it did turn out to be the case that a lot of the Americans kind of banded together, but I think it also depends on the personality. So, for example, I had friends who were American, but I also had friends who were European. Actually, my closest friends turned out to be the Scandinavian participants, which is very unusual, actually.
Different end of Europe.
Exactly. It's very different. Carl had a point when he said a lot of the Russian speakers did band together, but that was a lot to do with the language difficulty. Though you mentioned the fact that foreigners have a problem integrating with Maltese at the university. Last semester I was on Erasmus in the UK and I actually had the same problem, and I think that is more due to the fact that people already have their own friends at university and things like that. Whereas when we went on the BFTF program, you are the only person from your country and you have to spend 4 weeks abroad. So if you don't make friends, you don't really have a choice, and everybody is in the same boat, so you sort of go and you're all in the same situation, so that's much easier to make friends because you don't have these preformed cliques. And nowadays with social media, I had already talked to some participants on Facebook, so it wasn't so terrifying meeting these total strangers because we had all approached each other from before already, so I feel that really helped.
And in fact, the American participants probably wouldn't all be from the same area either. They would have been coming from various places in the United States. So in a way, it was new to them as well. The place was new.
Exactly. I mean, we did have some who came from the same state. For instance, we had two who are from North Carolina and two who are from Florida, for instance. But these states are so large that these people didn't actually know each other from beforehand. So even though they'd say, yes, we're from the same state, I mean, each of these states is thousands of times bigger than Malta. Well, so
could be a world away, really.
Exactly.
What about the ways in which, while you were there, efforts were made to accomplish those goals which we mentioned before, you know, the conflict resolution and this sort of thing? What kind of things did you do?
Well, I agree with Carl that it was quite difficult for some participants at the beginning, like even in class, for example, when in the conflict resolution, one of the things we were discussing was Cyprus, and there was a big conflict between the participant from Cyprus and the participant from Turkey. Or we had two Belgians who participated from one from the French-speaking side and one from the Dutch side, and even the version of their history that they told is not the same. And even with the Americans themselves, because we're just giving European examples, but for example, we had one of our classes was media and propaganda, and we watched Fahrenheit 9/11. And this sparked an immense debate over George Bush and his actions and so on. And you could see that the United participants from Europe and the United States were divided. So even there, you find that even though people come from the same country, they can be divided on issues. So I feel like a good approach they took was raising these subjects in class so that people could discuss them and debate, because we originally, as a neutral, for example, bystander to the Greek, the Cypriot situation or the Armenian crisis and so on. I am from Malta, so I'm kind of a neutral bystander, and I might not have had a proper idea of the background and the issues, so bringing these up in debate.
But you don't have the baggage either, so.
Exactly, so I felt it was a good arena for us to be able to discuss these issues and not look at them with the stereotypes we might have originally thought of.
So you think that they were successful in stimulating those skills which you would then be able to take back to your own country in your own context, really?
Definitely, and there was also a lot of group work involved. So in our group, I mentioned that the Cypriot participant and the Turkish were both in my class because we were so many that we were divided into two classes. So having to actually be on the same team and work together means you have to overcome your initial like disinclination to work with that person, because you have to accomplish the task in hand. So I felt like it proved that even though you come from a different background and might have been judging someone one way, you can still accomplish things if you work together. So I felt that the group work was another excellent factor they included in the program.
So here we're talking about getting honing your communication skills, your critical thinking skills, the tolerance, the respect for diversity. These are the things which they're aiming to do, I suppose. And it sounds as though they went quite a long way towards doing it. Returning to Carl, another thing that they mentioned in the blurb, so to speak, is interacting with the media. And I always feel that this really has to be one of the important points for young people nowadays, along with a basic knowledge of physics. A basic knowledge of media is essential to absolutely everybody. And they did try to give you these basic skills while you were there, I believe.
Yeah, they did. I think one of the first, I wasn't there in 2008, so Facebook wasn't a giant. It was now. So that was one of the first things they were teaching us how to make use of, and use the pages and the other links and stuff of the news agents themselves, and using that as a means of finding out finding information, and through that and trying to make use of those to connect to things. That was one of the major things. We had one class on social movements, and that was one of the aspects of it. And we were talking about the Obama campaign and how he made use of all the various means of the media and all the things, the different ways he made use of. So that was one aspect. And we had another class about the way the media is constructed, and we were talking about whether having neutral media was better than the situation here, like how we have the party has its own news channel, whereas in the United States they are supposedly independent, but then they have all the financial backing, which is quite clear, and then the positions they take are pretty obvious, and who they support and all the things they support. So we're discussing this as well, and we're talking about making use of all the tools on the internet, like the RSS feeds, and using these to keep up to date with the media pages. And at the time, we're talking about, it was a big issue, was in the United States, was the death of the print media, and the switch over to the online media, and how can you accommodate these things. And that was one thing they were keeping us up to date with. But then the difficulty we found there was the people who would go on the program, they were people who are always in tune with the media, so that wasn't so much an issue for us. It's more how to get other youth engaged with the media and get them to follow up the things that we do out of interest, how to get them to do it too. That was one thing we talked about in quite a big bit of detail.
Yes, the importance of looking at your peripheral audiences, yeah, not only your core interested ones. What about you, Hilary? Did you have this media experience as well?
Oh, yes. I mentioned already that we had a class on the media, propaganda and so on. So we'd discuss a lot in those lectures, and we'd watch clips of, for example, war propaganda, or I mentioned Fahrenheit 9/11, which is a much more recent film, and these things and how they influence society and spark debates and so on. But a major aspect of the program was that we had study visits, so we weren't always based in North Carolina. So we went, for example, for a day in Philadelphia, and then we spent a few days in Washington. And while we were there, we had classes, or not really classes, more like talks, at the press bureau in Washington. So renowned journalists or representatives of Freedom House or these sort of associations would come and give us talks about different aspects of the media and how they're involved in international relations. And we actually went to visit the Washington Times and saw the newsroom in front of us. And so that was quite an immersion into the world of media. And something they introduced in our year, which I don't think was in Carl's, was we had a session on creating documentary videos. Two of the lecturers we had are film producers, as in documentary film producers, and they were teaching us how to film our own documentaries and edit them to get the message across, and which shots we should use, and the effect of music and words. And we eventually split into groups where we had for a civic engagement project, and one group was a documentary film group who would be split amongst the other groups, so the environmental group, the arts group, and they actually filmed our achievements in civic engagement to create their own films and create their own insight into topical issues. So these were all uploaded onto the BFTF YouTube channel, so that even now we can go back and watch them and share them. And that was a very big push into this new world of film and social media and how you can share a message.
Extremely important, since everywhere you look now, if you go online in our local newspapers, above every article now, there's just, it might be just a 2-minute clip, but the video is there. the images are there. And as you were saying, Carl, the importance of being able to recognise who's picking up the tab at the end of the day. I think that's extremely important. Another aspect which I know that I think you both had in your tours was community service. What did you do, Carl?
I think that was quite a fun one. It was with Red Cross? I think it was the Red Cross there, and we were basically just going on and doing some maintenance for them and helping them clear out their the test dummies they use for the CPR. Mm-hmm. And we were cleaning all these things for them, cleaning up the offices for them and everything. It was just me, the participant from Texas and the participant from Uzbekistan. And even just that was really, really good fun with them and being able to help out, even just a small kind of small way. It was still good fun though.
And did you do a bit of community work?
Yes, we had quite a different array of community work. So one day, for instance, we cleaned the river, which was quite exciting and very, very cold. We had to actually walk through the river, so everybody kept falling over. But we cleared this river afterwards. When you could see the mountains of junk we collected at the end, it was a really fulfilling experience. And then we did things like work in community gardens or distribute food to different people in need. Some people built a house with Habitat for Humanity, so they had a good time doing that. What was particular in my case was that I was part of the arts group. So part of our service was, for instance, going to old people's homes and putting on a performance for them so that they could have something a bit different from their mundane
everyday
routine.
Do you sing or play an instrument?
I play the piano, so we gave them a performance. And one of the most touching experiences for me that I will never forget is that one of the old people's homes we went to was celebrating the 100-year birthday of a woman there. And we got to speak to her afterwards, and she was telling us how we've just made her day and made her so happy that we came. And it actually moved me to tears. It was so, I mean, for us, it was nothing, you know, big, but for them, it was such an amazing thing having us there. And it was the same when, for example, we visited the Salvation Army children, and we would play with these children or teach them a bit about our country, and it made them so happy to even just to see people from these countries that they've never heard of or would never have the opportunity to meet otherwise. It was I think even more of an experience for us in the end than it was from them, just seeing their reactions.
Yes,
so the civic engagement is definitely like a major part of the project.
Another thing that I see is on the agenda is staying with local people, staying with Americans and getting to know them. You mentioned that you stayed with a family who were Baptist.
Yeah, they were Baptist. It was really good. That was a really, really good experience, seeing how they lived their day-to-day lives and just listening to them talk and the way they, I don't know, just the way they go about things. It's such an interesting, you see so much of it on TV. I mean, you're flooded with American TV shows, and then actually go and see the reality of it, and just you drive through the streets and you see all the American flags outside and see how patriotic everybody is and how the way they just organize themselves and the way they go about the daily routine. And that was really good fun. And there's such welcoming people as well, and so hospitable. It was really, really good fun. That.
And listening to things that they like to talk about, issues which are of interest to them.
Yeah, that was, I mean, at the time it was, the election was the 2008 election was either coming up or had just occurred, and I think it was still coming up, so it was still the Clinton-Obama kind of things were going on then still. And that was great. I spoke to one of the host mum. She was really sweet. I think the host mum I was with, she had the Maltese participant from the year before, so she actually asked for me to be put with her.
Oh, that's good.
He gave such a good opinion of opinion of Malta too. So she actually asked, and she told me that we ended up doing the same thing. We kept talking about, oh, in Malta we do this, in Malta it's this way, and the guy before me did the exact same thing. So it was really, 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 really interesting. And and what was funny with them as well was, I got put with the French participant. We shared the same host family. It was me and him, and I had to translate quite often. Translate from their English to his English and his English to their English because of the accents. So it was just a really fun experience.
Yeah, sounds great. Were you able to stay with the family as well?
I stayed with a different family than Carl did. My family was actually a young couple in their early 20s. But even just that, I mean, they were closer to our age, I think, than Carl's family. But even then, you still see cultural differences. Like, the family we were staying with were eating very healthy food, whereas in the canteen at the university was pizza, chips. We're all joking that we weren't going to be able to fit on the plane back home after eating there. But they ate very healthy. Their idea of fun was hiking up mountains or these kind of things. And the participant with me was a girl from Arizona. So I had an all-around American experience, actually, in that sense. But we actually don't spend that much time with the host family. I think it was 1 week of the entire stay, so not to give the impression that we spend the whole month with them, because the rest of the time we're staying in the dorms on campus. But the time we did spend with the host family was really interesting to just give an idea of daily life, because when you're living in a campus dorm, obviously you are meeting Americans, but it's not the same as actually living with them and experiencing their daily routine and food and just different cultural differences.
Did you have time to actually, well, I know you were enjoying yourselves all the time, but did you have moments of fun? You got to have pizzas? Did you go to a bit of a disco or something?
The thing is there, the drinking age is 21, so we couldn't really do much, really. I mean, it's so different to here, the way that, the host family took us, they organized, amongst themselves, organized a trip to a baseball game, which we went to, like, the local baseball team. We went to watch The Dark Knight. It was Dark Knight then, yeah. We watched that there. And we all went together. It was really, really, we did lots of things like that as well.
So you did fun things
as
well.
Yeah, and I think they organised a trip to they did with another participant, a trip to the lake. And we went on a boat and everything with them, and yeah.
You did that as well, Hilary.
Yeah, we did. We were there for 4th of July, so that was also nice because we all went on a picnic. And we also went to a Major League Baseball game, which we organized to go to ourselves between the participants when we were in Philadelphia and the Phillies were playing. So it was a really exciting atmosphere. But with the host family, I also went to a Minor League Baseball game, and the program took us to a theme park. So we went to an amusement park, and in Washington, we had time to go to museums. Like, I loved the museum. So we really did have a lot. It was a really good blend of learning and fun as well.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you both very, very much, Hilary Bruffa and Carl Portelli, for coming today to talk to us about your experiences on the Benjamin Franklin Transatlantic Fellowship initiative. And if anybody's interested in this initiative, do contact the U.S. Embassy on USEMB Malta at state.gov, and they'll give you more information about it. Thank you so much. Thank you for being with us on University Matters. You can listen to any of the previous interviews in this series on the Campus FM website. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.